This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning at 10:06. Happy race day. No, let me rephrase that. Happy Snowball Derby weekend. That's even better. It's Kane and Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we're going to podcast the show at usfdracing.org. Joining me live in the studio, I got to get used to saying this, Matt, the editor for Auto Week, Mr. Matt Weaver. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kane. Thanks for having me on live in color in the studio.
Exactly. What's so great about this is I don't usually have people in here. Usually it's just my own show back and forth, but it's so much fun. And this is my favorite show of the year because you're a Snowball Derby geek like I am. And that's good news, by the way, when I call us geeks. And I've got, before we get started, I've got on the line the very first winner of all of this. It started Thursday night with the Bomber, BJ Latham, standing by. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. Before we get started talking about the Derby, we do have some sad news about a local racer, Matt. Unfortunately, I had learned from Tom Claxton, who's got a show here as well, and is really, he kind of put me under his wing to develop this show. So Tom's a great man. He told us that Charlie Barnett has passed of cancer yesterday. He'd fought for a while, and drivers and race fans along the Gulf Coast would know him. He was 68 years old, started racing at MIS when he was just in high school. He was the son of the great Gulf Coast racer, Cooley Barnett, and a lot of people know that name, Matt. And, you know, Charlie, he drove for 20 years and then started crewing for cars and other drivers. Huge success. And I tell you, he was with Bobby Garrison, and that team between him and Charlie was kind of like today's Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus. So just to let everybody know, Charlie Barnett, again, passed, 68 years old. Memorial service is going to be held Sunday the 11th from 6 to 9, located at the Sims Civic Center, and that's going to be just by Mary G. Montgomery School. So again, thoughts and prayers for them. Always hate to hear of a passing of a legend like him.
Absolutely, you know, especially a famous racing name like that. That's actually a name that I'm very familiar with. My dad, you know, growing up racing here in the greater Mobile area, that's a very, not, I wouldn't say prestigious, but certainly a known name, and that's just unfortunate for this racing community.
I agree. So here we are. It's Snowball Derby. It really starts, you know, the last race of the year. You start preparing for it, Matt, and that's whether you're a Bomber driver all the way up to the late models. Now, before we bring in again Thursday's winner, BJ Latham standing by, let's talk about when you first walk in. A lot of people are just, you know, usually, especially with this new time slot we've had for the just about a year or so, so many new listeners are listening, and they're hearing about the Snowball Derby, and there's media all around it. For folks who don't know, it's just not another race.
No, it's not, and really the best way to describe it, you know, I'm a short track guy, basically, you take the NASCAR environment, the pomp and circumstance, the you know, the media attention, the big crowds, and you're bringing it to the Gulf Coast. You're bringing it to Pensacola. And look, it's a cool opportunity to give short trackers a spotlight, but really it's a spotlight like no other in short track racing. It's just a really cool deal.
Yeah. And when you walk in, the ambiance, even on Thursday nights, and I know we're going to bring in BJ Latham. First of all, good morning, champ, and welcome to the show, and congratulations on an exciting win, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing like texting you a couple minutes before, hey, you want to come on the show? BJ, you know, Matt Weaver's in here as well, and we were talking off the air. You've had success in everything you've driven. You talk about a family name. You talk about how you got into racing really quick, how your dad was a big part of that.
Yeah, my dad was a big dirt track racer, and, you know, that's all we knew was dirt tracking. And after he passed, we kind of moved over to the asphalt, and then found Daryl, and then it's been Daryl and Steve let me drive their cars. Just been great ever since then, you know.
And you guys had a long-term commitment and a long-term relationship with a sponsor, Johnny's RVs. Tell us about that, and the history of that 8 car. It's moving on to a new owner, we understand.
It is. Trevor Bowen is he's supposed to have drove it at the Derby, and he just didn't get any practice. It's been just sitting over there. Thankfully, Johnny and them have let us use their shop to build that new truck the last couple of months, and we're excited about, you know, fielding it next year. And Trevor asked me last minute if I'd drive that thing. Well, heck yeah. No, I'm not going to miss out on an opportunity to drive that. That's my baby.
That's right. And it's the Derby, and what a good way for you to retire out of the Bombers and move up to the Truck Series. And, again, we were talking to you, just didn't feel comfortable enough quite yet to get the truck ready for tonight's race. And that's probably, you know, do you really want to go out to that first race at a Derby in a truck?
You know, we wanted to, but we wanted to get a couple more practices than we did. And you know how it is when you're building something new. This happens, that happens, and you just, we didn't feel comfortable taking it without, we didn't have a chance to win it, let me say that. And you know how competitive we are.
Yes.
We didn't think we could win. There just wasn't no sense in taking a chance of getting it tore up.
Yeah. Matt Weaver here, BJ. From watching you guys over the past couple of years, back from my time at Mobile International Speedway, you talked about your dirt background as a family, but you guys look like you're out on dirt in the bomber division. You guys are just sliding it around, squealing the tires. You know, for fans who maybe haven't driven a car or haven't watched the bombers enough, how much of a handful are these things to drive, especially at Five Flag Speedway?
Well, I didn't even realize it was so much of a handful until I got in that truck.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that truck drives,
like,
you know,
Cadillac.
Like a Cadillac compared to what we got. Our hands are all over the place. You know, so if you can drive one of those, you really need to start driving in the bomber division so you can handle the, you know, the more horsepower and all if it gets out of shape in the truck, which is my opinion.
Yeah.
All these guys that start late models probably would tear up less stuff if they would just start in a lower division first.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, thumbs up from Matt on that as well. And that's true. Now, again, what are the plans as far as next year with the truck?
We're going to fill it every week, as far as I know.
Right.
You know, we're not far off from completing it and being competitive
right.
with it, I don't think. We had a good group of guys. Gerald Wilkerson has been over there with us, you know, five or six nights. Bubba Gale stopped by a couple nights to help us with, so... people like that helping, we should be very competitive next year, I believe.
Oh, I think you will, too. Let's walk through Thursday, starting off with practicing, qualifying, and then to the race. Let's talk about how your Thursday went.
Practice was terrible. We went out, the car, it was just terrible. It had a bad vibration, but it wound up, you know, thankfully we got a good crew, found a couple of bent wheels on it, and that's all it was. Put it together for the feature, and did you see the times we were running the top three or four cars?
That's
my
the thing.
Goodness.
Yeah, the new track records during the race, and you know, the colder temperatures, and I tell you, what I noticed is I couldn't get quite on the high side where I could usually run before. I think there was, I don't know why, but boy, you got right in that middle groove, and you could just almost flat-footed around there.
Yeah, well, I guess it was a rubber that the late model and all were putting down, but it was a fantastic track to drive on.
And I would probably say the same thing. That was probably the best car we've ever had. Thanks, Dad, for working on it. And thank you guys, because you guys have helped out so much with some information. But, again, it was a lot of fun. I think it was probably one of the funnest derbies. But what about the competition up front? You look at Balcom. You look at Tommy Blocker. You know, and we were there for a little while until we got into the wall. And, first of all, the 11 car, I've got to apologize to him because I was loose on the high side. Balcom was there, and I came down, and I thought he hit me and he tagged me in the wall. So we saluted each other's, you know, as we waved by. And as known, sometimes Kane runs his mouth a little bit, and I feel terrible. I've talked to his son, and I apologized to him live on the air. So it's one of those things. That's why we run cameras. And but, you know, you try not to do that. But when you get into that moment, and you're running that good, and I think you can relate with that. If you think someone does something dirty, you know how it is. It's the Derby. So, again, out live, apologizing to the 11 for sure. I tell you what, BJ, what I want to do is talk about the rest of the weekend. Now that you won the Derby, Sunday you'll be at the Derby. Fingers crossed if it's not raining, and you'll be able to get that jacket. What's that mean to be on stage on Speed 51 when they're doing that? And this, I mean, you got to think there's 10,000 people there, and they're saluting you.
You know, it'd be nice, but at this point, I'm going to have to work. You know how that is.
That little job we had to do.
Every time I've won this Derby, I've yet to make it over there to get that thing. So we'll probably have somebody pick it up for us.
I'll take care of that for you. I got you.
But it is a good opportunity. You know, that Speed 51, we're going to watch anything we don't get to make over there and watch, we're going to watch online.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic for us around here, I think.
Yeah. Now that I believe they did lift the ban, so I think locally you can get that, which is kind of good. And like I said, they've got the schedule. We'll run through that here in a little bit. But again, really quick before we let you go, we've got to take our first break, and then we'll have the rest of the show with Matt here. But I wanted to get you on. Let's talk about the sponsors again. And again, it's great news to hear that you're going to field the truck for the whole year. But who, again, has really helped you get you to where you're at now?
CNS Electric, Boss Speed Shop. Of course, Johnny's RV does, you know, whatever he can do for us. Good folks over there. Dewey Miller puts the horses under the hood. and helps us with anything else we need. Towing, anything y'all need towed, just give them a holler. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody.
They'll text you in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, man, I'm missing radio time there.
Oh, BJ, again, you had a great run. It was a lot of fun with the Bombers. Can't wait to watch you next year, all year in that truck. And I know it won't take you long, guys, to get up front. So thank you for taking some time, and enjoy that rest of the Derby weekend.
Thanks for having me, okay?
Absolutely. BJ Latham, again, the champion from this year's Snowball Derby with the Bombers. Now, coming up next, Matt, a terrible wreck in the sportsman class. And we're going to talk about that next. Hang on. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Always brought to you by amazing sponsors like Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. So we're going to throw this out there now. No new news about Mobile International Speedway. All the local drivers are hoping and praying that somebody will be able to lease the track, or maybe it'll get running. So again, fingers crossed, and hopefully sooner than later we'll hear something, especially for the folks that are building, because you know, we're ready to go. Obviously, we just got done racing, talking with BJ Latham. Again, congratulations to him and everybody in that Bomber class. I mean, we had some wrecks. We had some drivers. Again, it's amazing to see. We had 27 cars in that car class for Thursday, and that has been the largest field that we've had for Bombers I can remember for years. And we were really close because they said they were going to run 30 of our cars. So can you imagine the Bombers next year? I think if we continue to grow that class and have tracks like Mobile and Five Flag Speedway and Sunny South Raceway all work together, the Asphalt Series is going to be able to continue. Well, we want to talk about the Sportsman Race. Now, I let Matt off the hook because he's it's Derby weekend. He's doing multiple interviews this morning, so we're going to do this segment without him. But when you talk about Five Flag Speedway and the Sportsman guys, there's one name that's always on top, and it's Steve Buttrick. He finally got one, and he finally got one, they say. The Katoma driver has been forced to reckon with the DACA Pensacola Beach Sportsman driver for a while, for 6 years now. And, of course, we're talking about Shayna Ard. Well, Shayna wasn't in the race this year because Shayna is moving on to the trucks. Now, I'm excited, and I want to wish him the very best of luck. Shayna Ard's a good friend. He's helped out quite a bit donating trophies to Kane's Warrior Kids, which, again, is our 501(c) non-for-profit, where we take these trophies and we take them to the Women's and Children's Hospital. We're doing that actually with a bunch of toys, a big toy drive we'll talk about shortly, coming up December 16th at noon. So he's a big supporter of that. But with him out of the way, it was an exciting race, a Snowball Derby, and it was Steve Buttrick that came on top again. And you look at how he's done. He's got Snowball Derby crowns from 2010 through 2013, and now he's got his fifth crown, outlasting the 26 car field, 50 lappers. Several accidents. Jason Huffmaster, I want to give a shout out to him. He was third, and he has had an incredible year. Jimbo Myers and those guys have really had a lot of good fun, and Mark Barnhill also, who has just had a rocket ship in the number three. But I want to talk about there was a terrible flip, and I'm trying to find the news, and running top 10, here we go, I'm looking up as we go. I can't remember exactly. Here it is. Law. There it is. Running in the top 10, Law slammed into the back of Tony Crosby. He was trying to check up as they all went into turn three. And as that happened, he barrel rolled and got hit while he barrel rolled. The most important thing is that, he was okay. But again, to have Sean Law's barrel roll five times down turn three and four. And if you go to my Facebook page under Derek, D-E-R-E-K, Long, L-O-N-G, the video's there. And again, Speed 51, if you go to speed51.com, they've had a lot of coverage. Now, in the Sportsman race this year, there was a lot of talk about a guy that came all the way from Maine. His name is Lewis Henderson, and Lewis had a really cool looking car. Now, at his track in Maine, 1,600 miles away in Hollis, Maine, he was a track champion again this year, and he had a really neat, cool paint scheme, a white car with the Grinch on it. But after the race, there was some contact, and it kind of a nasty crash between him and Sidner. I know he listens to the show. Battle top 10 positioning down the front stretch, and it all depends on who you talk to, because Anderson said, he just ran me over him. He couldn't get by me. We're fine. We'll fix another. Now, if you go to Dayton Sidner, S-I-D-N-E-R, on Facebook, and you can see the in-car video, you might think there's a little bit different there, so we'll have to see. But again, the most important thing is the accidents that we saw in the Sportsman class, all the drivers were okay and were safe. Now, again, the Bomber class was incredible. Congratulations. B.J. Latham had a great run. Tommy Blocker, who is making his first career Derby start, which is just amazing, had a great running car. And like BJ said earlier, the track, with all the extra rubber that's been laid down, it was smooth. So they stuck it on the outside, and again, it was just an incredible run. Now, coming up, we're going to take and shift gears, and we're going to talk a lot about last night. Now, there was some great racing with our open wheel modifieds. Friday night's one of my favorite classes, because also they have the Super Stocks, and that is a class here along the Gulf Coast at Mobile and Five Flags that usually during the year just doesn't get a lot of car counts. You're seeing six, maybe five cars, six and seven, but to see the fields that we saw yesterday, and a fairly safe run in each one of those classes. I remember the open wheel modifieds a couple years ago, we couldn't even get through turn one, and they had a few accidents, but it really wasn't that bad. So we'll talk about that here shortly. And really quick, just before we bring in Matt, I want to give you an update on what we do with Kane Motorsports, and then we'll bring him in and talk the rest of Snowball Derby. We're excited to announce a new major sponsor. We'll put it on social media today. First of all, I want to say thank you to Cyclops Vapor and also the Vape Shop of Pensacola, Pace and Golf Rings. It won't be on the car next year because of things with the FDA, and they're going to be doing some different things, but we were honored to have them on all year long, and they are such a huge part of not just the racing, and I say it just not like that because we do so much with childhood cancer. Both of those offices and those businesses will still be helping with Kane's Warrior Kids, so you'll still see them on the car and around at some of the events, but we want to say thank you to our brand new title sponsorship. Frank Griffith with BA Motorsports is going to take the hood next year along with McDonald's, and that's going to be able to help us continue to race both the Dirt Open Wheel Modified as well as the Bomber in full-time seasons next year. Also, thank you to McDonald's, Hepres Corporation, with 14 different McDonald's around the Gulf Coast. They're huge supporters of what we do with Kane's Warrior Kids. Also, again, back on the car for next year in 2017 will be Pull Apart, Hub Design, and Print Shop. They do all of our wraps and have just done some amazing things. And we've teamed up with Sean Herman. He is the owner of Serpents of Bienville Art Gallery. And if you go to SeanHerman.com, he's an amazing tattoo artist, a two-year wait. But what he does is he's teamed up with our Kane's Warrior Kids, and we're looking for kids that have been fighting cancer or have beaten cancer that have local artwork, and we want to mass produce that artwork, sell it in his gallery and online, and 100% of proceeds are going to go to kids fighting cancer. So you can get information at caneswarriorkids.com for that. Thank you also to Heritage Electrical. If you see our cars out on the track, you could usually tell which one is ours. We've got some pretty cool neon lights in there. We also thank Falsac Tires, Metro Glass Mobile, Ingersoll Racing, Coastal Traffic, also a big part of what we do. So coming up next, we're going to hit the Derby, continue to talk about what happened last night. There's some new drivers, new names, and I'm telling you, the tires that these modifieds are running, even the top three, four, five cars, they look like they were dirt coming out of turn four. We're going to see that tonight with the trucks, too. Matt Weaver and more standing by.
Considered the most prestigious short track race in America. And in December, the racing world will gather in Pensacola to etch their name in the history books forever. The best drivers in the land will follow the footsteps of racing legends as childhood dreams become reality at Five Flags Speedway. This is their time. This is the main event. The crowd, the cars, this is what racing is all about. For 300 laps, they will battle side by side to conquer racing royalty. The blood, the sweat, the tears come down to the biggest race of their careers. This is the Snowball Derby.
It's the 42nd Annual Snowball Derby.
No, Rock. It's not. It's the 49th, but I like that promo. Matt Weaver and Kane with Full Throttle Racing with Kane. And let me tell you something. If that does not get your blood going, that Robbie Harvey, the announcer, such a great job there. Of course, Bill, also the announcer in there at Five Flag Speedway. But that promo still gives me chills.
Oh, me too. And I was actually talking to Robbie about this on Wednesday, the pit party, and I said, you know, that thing still gets me every time, and he's one of my favorites. He is really good at what he does, and to hear his voice evolve from Wednesday night to Sunday is part of the spectacle of the Derby itself, because you do enough of this to know that by the time you get to race day, you know, you're like that pitcher who's just trying to get the last, you know, 90-mile-per-hour fastball out. You're just trying to get that out of your voice, and it's a struggle with 30, 40 laps to go.
That's it. And, by the way, before we go any further, go Cubbies.
Oh, absolutely. What an awesome month of October and November. There was a great documentary on Fox Sports 1 yesterday, just kind of going through that World Series. I'm going to step outside of myself as a Cub fan just for a moment and just go, as a baseball fan, that was the greatest World Series ever.
I agree. And I saw on Facebook that there's a Cubbies championship watch, and I'm just looking at that. I might have to send that to Matt. But I digress. But again, the Snowball Derby, let's talk about what happened yesterday. Again, qualifying for the Snowball Derby has compared from you, me, other media outlets as one of the most exciting of all times, including with the Indianapolis 500. You look at the pole sitter. Here's William Byron in only his second attempt getting it. Talk about what that means, and again, just the excitement of what we saw.
Well, you brought up, you know, you're an Indy guy, you know what Indianapolis 500 qualifying used to be. And really, the Snowball Derby is the only, you know, premier motorsports event that still has bumping of that kind. When you have 60-plus cars going out there for only 30 guaranteed spots on time, that's real drama. And you've got some really big names who are going to have to race their way into the field. For those who follow late model racing, they know that David Gilliland Racing has been amongst the fastest at every racetrack all across the country this year. And all three of their cars are in the last chance race. That's Todd Gilliland, your defending K&N West champion. Rafael Lassard, who won the Cars Tour Championship in the Carolinas and Virginias. There are some big names. Dalton Sargeant, who finished second in the Derby several years ago. A veteran like Stephen Nassi, who's always good here. Brett Holmes, an ARCA contender. Big names are going to go home, and you know, it's going to make tonight a lot of fun. But you brought up William Byron. I wanted to get to him for a second.
Yeah, I think incredible young man who I think is, for people who might not know that name, not heard of him, he's been around for a while, and he has a lot to – he deserves what he got. Let's say that.
He should have won the NASCAR Truck Series Championship this year, honestly. He had an engine fail on him at Phoenix, and he did not make the final four as a result, but he led the series in wins. Just a great race car driver, a great human being, but this is actually his final race with Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Oh.
He was signed earlier this season to a Hendrick Motorsports development deal. He is the next guy in that lineage of Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson. He's the heir apparent. He's right there with Chase Elliott. They're going to be the future of Hendrick, and this is
incredible.
His last race for KBM.
This is going to be a historic race for him. And you obviously know, like I said, when Bush brings his things down here, it's top of the line. And now with him being there, boy, that gives me chills. That adds one more flavor to the Derby that I didn't even realize. So
don't forget that Christopher Bell, in his eyes, he's looking for back-to-back Snowball Derby wins because he feels like he was unjustly taken the win away from him by Ricky Brooks because he did the victory lap and he built up some debris on the tires, and that gave him the extra weight that made him fail tech.
I'll leave it at that. Ty Majeski, Spencer Davis, Bubba Pollard fourth, Kyle Plott fifth. Where's Kyle Plott from?
Actually, you know, I haven't seen a lot of Kyle Plott. He's here every year, and he's a good racer, obviously, some good stuff. I think we're going to learn a lot more about Kyle Plott this weekend. We're going to see what he's made out of.
What about the open wheel modifieds? One of my favorite classes. Last night saw some great racing, and I was talking right before you came back into the studio with these tires. I was talking with some of the drivers last night. They are so hard to get any kind of traction. What they're using now, these are the same ones they use on this Super Stocks, also on tonight's Pro Trucks. But it was amazing to see these guys just, they were dirt tracking it out of four, which happens a lot at the Derby anyway, but more so than usual.
Well, first of all, we have some breaking news here on the show. Right. Logan Boyette, the local veteran, has decided to withdraw from the Snowball Derby.
No!
He would have started top five in the last chance race, just decided that, you know, it wasn't in their best interest to make this race.
I saw a story earlier, I think Speed51 put it on there, and he was saying, well, there's so much that we have to change to the car that I'm going to do it myself and help out. And you know what? As a race car driver, that makes you sick. How much money is spent just to get to the point, just to get to qualifying, and now you're ready to race, but there's a good chance, and I think Logan knows what everyone else knows, if you've ever been to the Snowball Derby, some of the most exciting races are the last chance races to try to make the Derby.
They call it the hooligan race for a reason. There's a really good chance that you've spent all this money to get your car ready to go out and compete for a Snowball Derby win, and then if you weren't fast enough to get in on qualifying, you really don't want to risk tearing up a really good race car for something that may not even happen. I think for Logan, he looks at this as an opportunity to, we're going to reload, come back next year, look at races like the Rattler 250, come back, run
which
some
he
Southern,
has won.
Absolutely. Some Southern Super Series races. He wants to be full-time in the Southern Super Series.
Yeah.
So I think he's kind of looking at that moving forward. Mm-hmm. Let's not tear up what still to him is a really good race car.
You know what? Very mature decision. I hate it for you, Logan. Love him to death. Good friend of the family. And again, I just, but you know what? I don't blame him for doing it.
Absolutely not. I mean, it is a real good race car, and there is no shame in withdrawing because it's really hard to make the show. Again, all three David Gilliland racing cars, Dalton Sargeant, this is a good car. Yeah. He just doesn't want to risk, given his limited budget, something bad happening tonight.
And that's it. Let's talk about tonight. Obviously, we've got the trucks, but we have all the last chance, and we also have the Snowflake. You know, that's a big race as well. And you're going to see a lot of the same drivers that are in the Derby running the Snowflake. What is the difference between a pro and a super late model?
I mean, there's several differences, but the main things that the fans need to hold on to is that this is a crate motor. This is a sealed engine.
Store-bought.
So, absolutely. And so with the super late model, this is a it's an open engine. You know, there are things that you can do to work on it, to modify it, make it faster. To cut costs, the pro late model is You run what you bought, and it's sealed, and everyone essentially on paper has the same thing. On paper.
That's a gray area, that racing thing. That's right. So tonight for the Snowflake, what do you think we're going to see? It's one of the most exciting races. Again, this is really, it seems, it, like I said, all starts Thursday. Last night, great racing, but now it's really starting to pick up. The crowds will be parked all the way to the interstate on the side of Pine Forest Road.
Yeah, this is the biggest race of the year for the Pro Late Model Division 2. It's right there with the Masters of the Pro Race in Missouri. You're going to see a lot of the same names. I mean, Bubba Pollard has won this race. John Hunter Nemechek has won it. He's the defending winner. But also some guys exclusive to the Pro Late Model Division. A local guy, Ryan Paul.
He's so great. I love Ryan. Good guy. I've watched him build his shop from the ground up. And all that he's done, and I know his family really, really well as well, and he deserves to have luck. And he's been saving it. He's one of those guys, the drivers, that builds it all year for this race.
He was fastest in practice.
Awesome.
He bought his car from David Jones, a local guy.
Oh.
He always had really fast stuff.
Yeah.
Another guy I'm keeping an eye out on is Justin South, the former full-time ARCA Racing Series guy. He's been really good the past couple of years with Larry Blunt. He's doing something different this year. He's got a different car, the 22 car. But those are the four names that I'm really trying to keep an eye on heading into Saturday night.
Well, you can see the gates are already open. Snowflake practice starts. Actually, it's going on now until 11 o'clock. Pro truck practice will start at 11 o'clock. Go through the schedule of events here today. They'll have the snowball only practice from 11:45 to 12:45, and then we'll go to the pro truck qualifying at 1:30. And again, we have a huge field of trucks out there. 2 p.m. will be the Allen Turner Snowflake 100 qualifying. They're going to lock in the top 30, and then let's talk about the qualifiers. The Snowflake qualifier 50 laps. Now, they've got a couple of them, four transfer. I really enjoy that race as well because it's the last chance race to try to get you in there.
It's unpredictable.
Very.
And I feel like we've seen some last chance races for the Snowball and the Snowflake that have been total hooligan races. And there have been a crash fest. It's been a demolition derby. But you've also had some really clean, really intense, really close good racing too. So, you know, I don't know what we're going to get, but I feel like that is the intrigue. That's what you want to buy a ticket for. You don't know what you're going to get. There's some fast cars probably going from the back to the front in both divisions. We don't know exactly what the complexion of the Prolate model last chance race is because they qualify later today. Right. But it's going to be a fun day. This is an action-packed day. If you're looking for value on your ticket, you get it today because you get the Prolate models, the Super Late models, the trucks, the Snowflake itself. Awesome value.
Yep, and the Snowflake starts at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, 1 o'clock. Duh, let's start that again. 7 p.m., it's 100 laps. And then after that, you'll see the Beef O'Brady's Pro Trucks 50 laps. And again, that'll be some of the most exciting racing. So what is on dock for tomorrow? What time does it all start? And what are we going to see? Oh, hang on. Matt and I are going to tell you next. Hang on. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll show. That's easy for me to say. We'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. And we've got Matt Weaver live in the studio. We were talking about the Derby that was the 24 hours of the Derby just a couple years ago. And what an exciting time that was. Is there a chance that that could happen again this year? Because we were just talking off the air. And if you're going today, this might be the last chance you see cars on the track for a while. Not trying to hex it, but 3 a.m. we've got just a monsoon times two coming through.
Yeah, this is a real knock on wood scenario, but yeah, we've got 90% chance of rain on Sunday and Monday.
And not sprinkles.
Not sprinkles. We're talking about, you know, this is the scene from Ghostbusters. End of the world, cats and dogs getting along.
That's right.
This is the apocalypse.
Yes.
I talked to Tim Bryant yesterday, and the only thing that, you know, the track GM at Pensacola, Tim Bryant, he would commit to is if we can't get the race in on Sunday, they would then look towards Monday afternoon. And he said, beyond that, if it comes to that worst case scenario, we're going to have to do a lot of conversing amongst ourselves and the industry, because the performance racing industry trade show in Indianapolis is next weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And everybody who does anything in racing will be in Indianapolis. So there's a lot of challenges. You know, could this be a Wednesday race, Thursday race? Who knows?
Well, we can only hope that when it all starts at 1:15 tomorrow with the driver introductions, it will start at 1:15. You know, it's really exciting, the pre-race festivities. And again, give kudos to the announcers there and just everyone from Dave Pavlov and everything. Those guys, and you know, I took this year off. Speed 51's taking a lot of the stuff that we do, so I don't mind taking a couple days off and letting them do their thing. But they really, they're just, when you pull in on Sunday, there's an electricity like you're going to Dega, going to Daytona or maybe Atlanta, but we're talking not just a normal NASCAR race. I mean, you walk in, you can, the smells, the sounds, the vibe, the hair that stands up on your arm. It's the Derby, and what does that mean as a fan? I know what it means to me as a driver, as a worker and stuff, but as just a casual fan, what does that mean?
We've talked about this on the air, off the air before. I'm lucky enough that I've been to a lot of really cool motorsports events. I've covered Formula One races. Awesome. I've covered the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500. I've been all across the country chasing late models too. But still, no matter all the things that I get to do in racing, this is my favorite weekend of the year. I get to come back home to the Gulf Coast. I love this place like no other. I love the beach. I love the people here, Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the racing product, the narratives, it's the best people from NASCAR. They come down.
Mm-hmm.
Short track people are naturally awesome anyway, and they all meet in the middle here in Pensacola, and it's magical.
One of the coolest things is at noon they do the engine warm-ups. They've got all the cars lined up, five deep rows all the way back, and when they start those, and they just the warming of the sounds and everything like that, that's when the electricity kicks in. They start moving those cars around, and then they fire it off, and then what are we going to see going into turn one, 300 laps. If it does happen, fingers crossed, again, with no rain, whew, how do you describe what it's like turn one? Because I would usually stand inside that wall. I had the best seat, man, right there on one and two and leaning in, getting hit by rubber. I'm not doing it this year, and I'm fine with that, but what does it mean as a fan and as someone like you and me who are also in the media who just die in love for racing?
this is probably an analogy that will go over a lot of people's heads.
Yeah.
But if you've ever seen Brock Lesnar's WWE entrance, where he's, you know, jumping back and forth, yeah. You know, he's got that little jolt of energy in him. That's me standing on top of the tech shed. It's like, I feel like Brock Lesnar. Yeah. It gives me, yeah. You know, the energy of 100 dying suns. It's like, okay, it's here. It's the Snowball Derby. All the biggest names in the industry are here, and they're going to race each other. What we're going to see, I think we're going to see a really good, clean race. I know the Derby can be a bit of a crash fest when you have 36 cars, a lot of pushing and shoving, but this field particularly, more than many of those that came before, this is a professional field. I mean, these are guys who are going to be around at the highest level for a long time, and I think we're going to see a clean race.
I'm going to, for the first time ever, I think, disagree with you, because if it starts on time, you know, 151 laps is an official race in a 300-lap race. And I've heard that from folks that work there, and I'm not going to say who they were, and they don't want it to be that way. But it could happen that way. And I think if they're lucky enough to get it in and the weather's fine, and kudos to Darlington Motor Speedway for having their jet dryer there. So Five Flags is going to do what they can to get it in tomorrow. I think the race will be for 151 laps, and I think you're going to beat the crap out of each other.
That would totally change the dynamic, yes. And I would totally change my prediction. You know, we've seen in NASCAR the past several years, when you have championships on the line and you have rain coming in, it changes the way that drivers race. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you feel like a race got cut short,
yes.
But it makes people lose their minds.
You have to go, and you have to go now, and you have to make decisions that you would never do, supposedly.
It turns a super late model race into a bomber race.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's it. The schedule, like I said, we've gone through it already. Saturday and Sunday, we're hoping for the best way, but I mean, you're looking at the weather map and stuff. What else? We've got about 7 minutes left here. What else can we tell any fan that has not purchased a ticket? Because I do know they do have some tickets available. If you are a diehard fan, you love racing at Sunny South, any of the dirt tracks around here, just racing in general, the drag strips, go-karts, you're a fan, and you know what? If you're a true fan, you'll still get a ticket. What's it worth for you, I mean, again, to go and see this for the first time?
I'm going to sell you.
Okay, let's
Snowball
hear it.
Derby. Okay,
let's do it.
Very few opportunities in life present itself to where you can say that you're a witness to history.
Yeah.
And I feel like every single time, me as a journalist, someone who has to look at the big picture, I walk away from this race feeling like I saw something special.
Yeah.
Let's go back to last year. Chase Elliott on his way to driving the number 24 Hendrick Motorsports Sprint Cup car won his second Snowball Derby after Christopher Bell got thrown out.
Yeah.
That's historic. He won all four of the majors in super late model racing. Despite only driving these cars for 6 or 7 years, he became one of the greatest of all times. Two Tom Dawson trophies.
Two.
Eric Jones has won two of these things, and now he will be in the Cup Series. He's a JGR development driver driving for Furniture Row. John Hunter Nemechek, super talented kid. He is going to be a star.
Yeah.
He's got to get some money behind him, but he comes here against the best talent in the world, and he's a contender every single year. Ty Majeski is the future of Roush Fenway Racing. He's here.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier. William Byron, he is the next in that lineage.
That's
of
huge.
Johnson, Gordon, Elliott. You come here, you see the future. You see things that matter. If you're old enough to remember Ronnie Sanders and Darrell Waltrip arguing over the
trophy.
68 trophy, that was history. We can go down the line. Every year you walk away from this race, you know you saw something special. That's why you go in 2016.
And it's almost as the checkered flag comes over, you go, because you're holding your breath the whole time. And I can tell you the last 30 laps, I don't think there's a seat being used.
Well, then you take a breath and you hold on to that one, because then you have to go through the Room of Doom.
Yeah, the Ricky Brooks. Well, it's going to be a huge race. I do want to also just say prayers and thoughts to everybody that's going to be out there. We wish you the best of luck. I want to shift gears. We've got about 3 minutes left. Major announcement for Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah, this is cool.
Listen up.
It is very rare that you can get everybody in the short track industry to come together and agree on anything.
True.
And basically what we have is Bristol Motor Speedway next May is going to host what they're calling the U.S. Nationals of Short Track Racing. They're going to host a handful of different divisions, super late models, pro late models, late model stock cars, Southern Modifieds, and four-cylinder cars.
Wow.
And they're going to have them all during a 3-day show at Bristol Motor Speedway. it's been promoted by the Southern Super Series, mm-hmm. The Cars Tour, the CRA Tour in the Midwest. Speed 51 is on board. Several sponsors from all across the industry. This is an unprecedented gathering of all the brightest minds in racing to promote a new, essentially, Super Bowl World Series of short track racing. This is an event that will be parallel, on par, to the Snowball Derby, yes. to the Winchester 400, and it's going to be at one of the crown jewel venues in all of motorsports, Thunder Valley.
And I can already tell you, as of this particular second, and thank you to even, again, the new BA Motorsports, we're going to Bristol. We're going to take the Bomber because they're running Bombers up there. I've already made that decision. I mean, the news came out this morning. I'm like, we're going to Bristol, baby. You know, and how cool is that? So that's going to be exciting, and that's going to happen in May, you said, right? What do they have the date?
Yeah, that's the same weekend as the Sprint All-Star Race. Well, now the Monster All-Star Race.
Yes, we got to get used to saying that. Boy, do we have time to talk about that for a second. What are your thoughts?
I think that this is a very cool brand. They're about fun. There's a certain subset of NASCAR fans who feel like even though Sprint did a good job, they were too corporate. They were too nip and tuck.
I agree.
Not going to have that problem with Monster.
Oh, long hair and party vote. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's going
to
be
huge. Look at what they do in Supercross. They're going to bring that sort of mentality to NASCAR, and they're going to market all these young drivers. It's going to be a hip brand for the foreseeable future.
And that's what we need to get more seats, I think, sold at some of the things, some like, you know, some of the other of the, you know, races that we've seen. I see Pocono, and I mean, they used to have to wait for someone to die to get a ticket to Bristol, and now they're giving them away.
Monster's Mark Hall, their chief marketing officer, said during the press conference on Thursday that their goal is to draw the raw energy and emotion out of NASCAR drivers again and put it on full display for the world to watch.
If they do that, it'll go back to Winston Cup. If they let back on the rules, let these guys race like we do on the short tracks again, NASCAR will take it back to where they need to be. Now, we just got to see if they'll allow that to do that with a big sponsor. How long is that sponsor there for?
We have no idea. Like most things in NASCAR. NASCAR, they keep it close to the vest.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, couple minutes left to go. Jeff Choquette is my pick for the Snowball Derby.
I have been saying this, I feel like, off and on for 10 years now, almost 10 years. You come to the Derby and you look at all the big names.
I know, you can't pick.
And this guy is a big name too, but he's not the same kind of big name. I feel like this is the year that Bubba Pollard gets it done. But I said that last year, and I said it 4 years ago, and I said it 5 years ago when he was on the pole. But, you know, it's like Dale Earnhardt at Daytona.
I was about to say the same thing. This is the one race that has escaped Bubba, and you know it makes him sick, as he has won championships there. He's dominated there before and at Mobile when he drives. So what is it about the in a minute left, why do so many people have so many odd, weird, strange problems at the Derby that keep them from victory lane?
I mean, it's several things. I mean, one, the competition level is so high. Everyone's so equal. Bubba Pollard is used to coming to Pensacola, and he's the man to beat. Yeah. But now he's got 15 other cars that are equal to him. Mm-hmm. And there have been races he's dominated, but then you get stuck in lap traffic.
Exactly.
The crash happens in front of you. That happened to him 3 years ago.
Yep.
And so it's really hard to win the race.
Well, I tell you, I think you do a great job. How do we keep track of your coverage throughout the weekend?
The best way is on Twitter, at Matt Weaver AW now. Also on Facebook, Matt Weaver Motorsports. That's where you can find all of my stories, opinions. God knows I've got a lot of them.
And let me stop you there. Another reason why I love having you on the show, because you don't sugarcoat it. You tell it like it is, and that's what we do on the show. We're not here to make friends. We're here to inform you about racing, and we're just a couple guys with some strong attitudes that love racing and think that we're right all the time.
Stay real, brother. Stay real.
That's it. All right, everybody. Again, thank you so much. Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway. Again, we're so excited and honored to announce our brand new corporate sponsor for 2017 for Kane Motorsports. And I'll tell you now, we're going to Bristol in May. Thank you, BA Motorsports. Frank Griffiths is on board and is going to help us get us there. Also, thank you to McDonald's. Again, Pull Apart, Hub Design and Print Shop, Serpents of Bienville Art Gallery, and again, Heritage Electrical, Falsac Tires, Metro Glass of Mobile, Ingersoll Racing and Coastal Traffic. God bless you. Go get a ticket and bring the umbrella. It is what we call the 49th running of the Snowball Derby.